Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Modern Marvels. This is episode 16. My name is Marshall, and I'm your host today. Joining me on the podcast, as usual, Matt Hicks is here tonight. Say hello, Matt.
Hello.
I almost scooped up your name. And Josh Peters is here tonight as well. Say hello, Josh.
Hey, guys.
All right, so starting right into it, first off, we're going to talk about the suggestions we got from you guys for the past month or so for suggestions on a card to build a deck around that hasn't already seen much modern play. So if you made a suggestion, thank you. We appreciate it.
And we've gotten a surprising number, so thanks, guys.
Yeah, it was cool to see some of these suggestions as well. So I'm going to read off some of the suggestions that we got that were notable. First off, one of the first suggestions,
yeah, thanks.
One of the first suggestions we got, Plunge into Darkness, was like, ugh, that card is just,
it makes me want to do what the art is doing.
You know, not only that, but I think, you know, a lot of the cards that were suggested that were really unique came from the Future Sight, Time Spiral block. This was no exception, obviously, because... it's really crazy weird. Actually, I'm sorry. Plunge into Darkness was Fit Dawn. Okay.
Yeah.
But some of the ones we got were from Future Sight, which...
But still, you're getting close. You're within, 2 years.
Anyway, I'm going to read off Plunge into Darkness real quick, because this is for you listeners out there who are super Johnny and like to do silly things. So Plunge into Darkness is an instant one and a black, choose one, sacrifice any number of creatures, then you gain 3 life for each sacrificed creature, or pay X life, then look at the top X cards of your library, put one of those cards in your hand, and exile the rest, and it has entwine for a single black, so you can choose both if you pay the entwine cost.
Now, obviously, the second mode is probably the most relevant one you'll be playing with.
Right.
Mostly for combo decks. Sometimes this card's seen in Death Shadow decks where you're just trying to get your life flow to make your Death Shadow a 13-13 really quick.
So right.
You pay X life, look at the top X, get a Death Shadow.
Yeah, and it's a 13-13 for 2 mana.
Yeah.
Or 1.
Again, this is a very, very Johnny kind of card. So thanks for that suggestion. That was a really good suggestion. Unfortunately, we did get some better suggestions. Up next... another one that I wanted to point out was Druidic Satchel. I actually played with Druidic Satchel back when it was in Standard for a short while. It was kind of like the first version of like a rug Delver in Standard sort of thing. Because at the time there was Delver, you had Ponder, you had Huntmaster of the Fells. It was really cool. Anyway, so I'm just going to read it off real quick. Druidic Satchel is 3 colorless. It's an artifact. And it has 2 and tap it. Reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, put a 1/1 green sapling creature token onto the battlefield. If it's a land card, put that card onto the battlefield under your control. If it's a creature card, or it's a non-creature, non-land card, you gain 2 life. So this is kind of like a slow, incremental card advantage sort of artifact, which is pretty cool. I think it has some potential in Modern, and I'm kind of glad that we got the suggestion to look at for like future reference, because I think, like I said, it does have a lot of like potential because it's got that, you know.
I think it's good in maybe a Corsair Crucifix deck.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting 2 lands into play a turn,
right,
or something like that, or just being able to just sort your top of your library.
Also, as far as recommendations we got, I was recommended in person, actually, not on the internet, from a friend at school, Descent into Madness, which is a kind of like a fixed smokestack on a black enchantment.
Oh, man. You know, when I first saw this card, I really wanted to play it, but I just couldn't. I don't know. I couldn't figure out how to break it, you know?
It's
probably the worst mythic ever. I don't know.
No, there's... I mean...
Why is this a mythic, guys?
I don't know. There's another one in that Avacyn Restored in the same set that was pretty bad, too.
What? Which one are you talking about?
The one where you exile your graveyard and you gain life equal to it. That might have been.
That's probably more playable than Descent into Madness.
That's from Dark Ascension, and that's a white card.
Yeah.
Okay. Angel's Light.
But you know what? Now that I've gotten the suggestion again to do Descent into Madness, I kind of want to look into that. There's got to be a way to do something
kinda,
with it.
That one's kind of like just unbreakable, I'm thinking.
If the cards went to your graveyard, it might work.
That's a problem. It's like it just exiles the stuff. So it's like you can't get, you know.
No, it just, it basically turns the game into a draw.
Well, not really, because your opponent's probably actually doing things, and you're playing Descent into Madness.
True.
No, you just play a bunch of tokens, and then they exile cards, and you exile tokens. I don't know.
On my Twitter, maybe. I was suggested Meddling Mage, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah, so we decided, after getting the suggestions in, to kind of do three decks, one for each of us on each card, just because we each kind of we saw some suggestions and we each had our own separate ideas of what we wanted to do. So yeah, tonight we're going to talk about, Josh built a Meddling Mage deck for tonight. So thank you to the person who suggested that.
That was Sam Foley at Redbrick Wins from Vancouver. Thank you, Sam, for sending in the tweet. Seems like a good guy. He suggests that we be as annoying as possible in our deck building strategy. I don't know if I went for annoying so much as I kind of wanted to build this. I wanted like this deck to be something that you guys could play at tournaments and be somewhat successful with. So I kept that in mind. But I appreciate the spirit, Sam. So thank you for submitting.
Yeah. So the other two suggestions that. That we got, again, one is for Matt. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and announce the card that you decided to do?
Yeah, I'm gonna flesh out Bitter Ordeal, which is a card from Future Sight, and it's one of those cool future-shifted frame artwork, too. So,
yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing.
If you think that's cool. Because that is debatable.
I think it's one of, maybe the only card of Gravestorm, or it might be one of two.
That's a good question. Let me check that real quick.
I think it's the only one. Well, Gravestorm is it's sort of like the regular Storm, but instead of counting spells played this turn, it counts permanents put into any graveyards for that turn, and you copy it for each permanent put into a graveyard. And then when you play Bitter Ordeal, you get to Gravestorm, so you copy that spell for how many times. The text on Bitter Ordeal is search target player's library for a card and exile it, and that player shuffles his or her library. So sometimes you can do it for maybe 20 and get a bunch of their win cons, or if they're stuck on land,
just take out their land. Yeah, just take out all their lands.
Just depends what you're playing against. Yeah. I think the main goal of this card, if you're playing it in a competitive deck, I put quotes around competitive, by the way, is to get their whole graveyard or get their whole library and exile it. That'd be the main goal, which you're either going infinite to do this, or you're I don't know how you get exactly 60 and or, you know, 45 by that time to exile most of their library.
Right.
But it's an interesting combo card, I think, to try to figure out.
So yeah,
I'll be
Matt,
talking about that either next week or soon.
Right. So thanks, Ryan Coward, for submitting that suggestion. And yeah, that's the card that Matt's going to be trying to break. And Matt is probably the biggest Johnny on the show, so that's, you know, very, very fitting, I think. So the card that I picked that we were suggested is Thopter Foundry. So in the email that I got recommending Thopter Foundry, the person said, I'd like to believe that Sword of the Meek isn't the only way that this card can see play. And I kind of want to agree with him, so I
kind of want to disagree with him, but I'll hold my tongue for the time
right
being.
Yeah, so that's the card that I'm going to try to take a look at. Thanks to Pillarfield Talks, I'm assuming that this isn't the actual person's name, but that's just the person who suggested it via email. So thank you to that person, whoever did. Yeah. So yeah.
And by the By the way, I might try to stick Plunge in the Darkness into my deck just to see.
Oh man, yeah, right. Real deep, the Bitter Ordeal Plunge in the Darkness deck.
Yeah,
might be cool. The only way.
Comments.
Well, I mean, if you're sacking a bunch of dudes, they go to your graveyard, Gravestorm. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
Man, this format really needs Dark Ritual real bad.
Yeah. Because a turn one Liliana is what everyone wants.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's not as bad as turn one Monastery Swiss Spear, apparently.
Turn one Liliana will be horrid.
Yeah, on the play, give me a break.
Ugh. Good
luck.
Okay. All right, so moving on. So as we mentioned earlier, we're going to let Josh... Josh has built a deck with a main board Meddling Mage that he's going to talk about tonight. Yeah. So, Josh, why don't you take us off?
All right. So, Meddling Mage was, like I said earlier, was recommended to me by Sam Foley via Twitter. And this card is near and dear to my heart. If it's very nicely within the Hate Bear strategy, which is a strategy I'm pretty familiar with. I wrote a primer on white-black Hate Bears in Modern about a year and a half ago.
It's been some time, but...
What?
I said it's been some time, but yeah.
It's been some time, yeah. I do have some experience with that deck. So I kind of decided to put Meddling Mage in a Hate Bear shell... make it pretty aggressive. Just try and take advantage of mostly Aether Vial to sort of set up a board state that basically denies sort of any action that your opponent could take against you. Meanwhile, they're dying to Geist of St. Traft or Blade Splicers or Restoration Angel or Vendilion Click. So we'll go over the list. We'll start with the creatures, which is most of the deck, because this is an Aether Vial deck.
Yep.
We have, to start it off, four Leon and Arbiter. Leon and Arbiter, for those of you who don't know, this is a very important element to the deck. It's a 2-drop from Scars of Mirrodin. He is a 1-colorless, 1-white, 2-2 cat cleric. Rare. As players can't search your libraries, any player may pay 2 colorless mana for that player to ignore this effect until end of turn. So basically what this does is it makes fetch lands an enormous hindrance on your opponent taking their turns in early game, especially if you play this guy on turn 2. Your opponent, especially on the play, your opponent will have a real tough time sort of establishing an early board state, which lets you... This lets you play fun cards like Meddling Mage. We have 4 Meddling Mage as well. This is especially good right now. We were joking about this earlier, Marshall and I, but it actually is really good because you can kind of just name Treasure Cruise, which is a card that is seeing a lot of success right now.
Yeah.
So naming Treasure Cruise or... Delver's Secrets, or
Monastery Swift Spear.
Monastery Swift Spear, or Dig Through Time.
Really,
or
I mean,
Blood
I think...
Moon, or just anything that is just really annoying and interferes with our gameplay. On Meddling Mage, we have 4 of them. They're not legendary,
so you can name as many as you want.
We can name whatever we want, and we can even change it with Restoration Angel, but we'll get there.
Yeah, or Flicker Wisp.
Or Flicker Wisp. We have Thalia, 2 Thalia Guardian of Thraven. We play a lot of creatures, so Thalia is right at home, and it sort of disrupts the game plan for combo decks and for the really spell heavy decks like Burn, right. And I guess the blue red Delver deck that's around and is wreaking havoc right now. Thalia is very good against them. Avid Mind Sensor, which is another card from Future Sight with a Future Shifted Border. It is a 3-drop. One second. Mind Sensor.
That's 2 and a white with Flash Flying.
That's right. Flash Flying.
Your opponent.
Your opponent. If opponent would search a library, that player searches the top four cards of that library instead.
Yes.
I just want to get the wording right on that one.
That is important, yeah. That only your opponent has that. Yeah. can only search the top four.
Yes. So. If an opponent is a very key phrase in that in the rules text of that card. What else do we got? All right. Avamind, since we only play one of main board, we have some extra in the sideboard, but he's a little inefficient in terms of power and toughness, and we are trying to beat face. We do need to kill them. Like, we're annoying them, but we do need to kill them.
And not every deck is really dead set on searching their library for stuff.
Right. So. And killing them comes... that job is left to Mr. Geist of St. Draft, who is very good at that. And everybody knows why Geist of St. Draft is good. Blade Splicer is another champion in this deck. Blade Splicer has seen some modern play sporadically. He was in a red white mid range deck that did pretty well at a Pro Tour, if I seem to remember, with Johnny Vengeance and it was kind of like a pretty surprising deck for an early modern Pro Tour. It was like in the first 2 years of modern. It was like Pro Tour Philadelphia, I think.
I think it had seen some success in blue white mid range.
Yeah, in standard, it's
over the past year or so. Well, in modern, but.
Oh, neat. I haven't
just here and there. Not.
Like, I haven't been tough. Like keeping a super close eye on Blade Splicer, but it did. I did play it in blue white Delver and standard when that was a deck sort of towards the end of the Innistrad Scars of Mirrodin standard format. Then we have three Flicker Wisp, which resets our Blade Splicers to make more 3/3 for striking golems. It resets our meddling mages so we can name new things if we need to change something. It blinks our restoration angels and our V-clicks so that we can blink more things if you want to be super silly. Vendilion Click, yeah, obviously we get to take more cards out of our opponent's hand. We have play two Kira, the Great Glass Spinner, main board, which is a card that you see a lot of times in Fish and Merfolk strategies. It just protects our board, gives us a little bit of stability to really removal-heavy decks like the Abzan midrange. I know Matt's over there cringing as I say Abzan. the Jung midrange decks, the Jung decks... the decks that are playing a bunch of Maelstrom Pulses and Abrupt Decays and all that stuff, we want to have Kira to help us deal with those.
Well, it doesn't stop Abrupt Decay, does it?
No, it does. Yeah, no, because it's a counter effect. Yeah.
Also,
we are kind of just a dog to Abrupt Decay, but...
Yeah. So is everything, really.
Yeah. Your best option is to blink it. One thing about Kira, though, you should watch out for, it also affects your... spells and abilities. So if you're, say, equipping a sword to one of your creatures will carry out, it will counter that ability the first time it's targeted.
This is true.
Just one thing to watch out for Akira that if you haven't played with her much, you may not know.
Yeah.
So. This is very true. So yeah, that's two Akira, Great Glass Spinner. Two Restoration Angel to do the same job as Flicker Wisp, but with a more hardy toughness and helps us sort of round out our aggressive threats with Geist of St. Draft and Blade Splicer. A Vendilion Click, just a Miser's Vendilion Click to help us hedge against combo. That's all the creatures. And then our non-creature spells, we have one sort of Feast and Famine. I picked Feast and Famine. It can honestly be pretty much any sword you want outside of maybe Body and Mind. I pick Feast and Famine because I figure green and black are the most relevant threat or the most relevant creatures we need to be swinging through. Protects us from Abrupt Decay, protects us from
protects the creature from Abrupt Decay.
Yeah.
in that case they're just gonna Abrupt Decay the sword.
True.
So well probably, I don't know. Depends on the situation.
But still protects anyway, our threats from above decay. We'll still be able to attack through mid-range removal heavy decks. Elspeth Knight Errant, a single Elspeth Knight Errant helps us again diversify our threats. Helps sort of jumping Meddling Mage, jumping Land and Arbiter, because Meddling Mage is going down in this deck.
Jumping Geist of Saint Draft.
Jumping Geist of Saint Draft is disgusting.
Turn three Geist, turn four Elspeth.
Turn four Elspeth after playing a turn three Blade Splicer is actually really insane.
Yeah.
To jumping my Golem, my 3/3 first striking Golem is now flying, and it gets real good. While those two can't really interact well with our first or with our next card, we do have an enormous density of creatures. We have 4 Aether Vial, which is going to help us start playing 2 spells very quickly, 2 spells a turn. This is one of those decks where having 2 Aether Vial going is actually pretty good. You can start Aether Vialing Flicker Wisps, which is insane. We get to sneak our Meddling Mages under counter. We'll really sneak all of our creatures under counter magic. Coming out of the blue decks, the Blue Moons, the Blue Red Delvers, and whatnot. And then to round out our non-creature spells, we have 4 Path to Exile just as spot removal. And they are, just insane. They turn into, 1 white exile target creature with, sometimes with Leonin Arbiter.
Yeah.
And, Aven Mind Sensor. So those are very good. As far as the mana base goes, it's pretty simple. Actually really cheap, so if you guys are looking to play it in a tournament, this is one of the decks that you should be looking at. If you don't have a ton of money, because you don't have to buy fetches, because we play 4 Leonin Arbiter, and we're trying to take advantage of that, and playing fetches puts us in the same spot as we want our opponent to be in. So we play 4 Hollow Fountain, 3 Seachrome Coast, which is the come into play untapped if it's the first or second land that you played. That cycle from Scar's Block. One Igondra Castle, which is
I've always wondered how you pronounce that.
Igondra, I think that's Igondra
Castle. You're probably right. I don't know. I was just every time I've seen it, I'm like,
Igondra sounds right.
Igondra.
sounds like Jumanji.
It is a legendary land from Champions of Kamigawa.
So you know it's fair and balanced.
So, yeah, this is the most benign of utility lands. It comes into play untapped, it's just like a plains. But you can pay a white and tap it to prevent the next 2 damage that would be dealt to target legendary creature. This protects our Thalias, this protects our Leonin Arbiters. No, not Leonin Arbiter.
Well, mostly it protects guys.
Guys of St. Draft.
Protects it from Pyroclasm and from Anger of the Gods, which is
true.
Really important.
Is Kira legendary?
Yes, yeah. Kira is. Okay. It does protect our Kiras if they get through Kira's shield.
And Vidillion Click.
Leonin Arbiter, I keep wanting to think Leonin Arbiter is legendary. The card should be legendary.
It'd be probably a lot worse if it was legendary.
Yeah, I guess it would be. We play 1 Igondra Castle just for those reasons. Protects us. Our legendary creatures from Pyroclasms mostly. We play 4 Mutavault.
For the again, aggro.
For the Righteous Beats.
Yep.
4 Ghost Quarter, which is actually a surprisingly large element to this deck. These Ghost Quarters are actually just strip mines a lot of times, especially early game with Leonin Arbiter out. Because they would have to pay 2 to go search for their land off Ghost Quarter. And sometimes they're tapped out, and they don't have mana to do that, so you get to just play the mana denial strategy and put your opponent out of lands, which is really, really strong, actually. Like, that's probably the strongest interaction in this deck. While this is, I wanted this to be a Meddling Mage deck, Leonin Arbiter Ghost Quarter is, if you get it online, is just really vicious. Puts games away really quickly, especially when you have a Geist of Saint Draft breathing down their neck.
Yeah.
And then we play three Glacial Fortress, which is the blue-white buddy land from the core sets that we know and love, and three planes and one island. And that's it for main board. In the sideboard, I just threw this sideboard together really quickly right before we started because I forgot to put it together.
I forgot that a deck runs 75 cards.
We do need 75 cards in the deck, don't we?
Yeah.
So we're playing three Dismember, which is sort of just a catch-all removal spell. If we're playing against another sort of creature-heavy deck, some of these mid-range decks that are coming out, we saw we're going to talk about some of the top 16 decks that were at the recent SEG later on in the podcast, and like we saw some aggro decks and some mid-range decks there. If we need to increase our removal density for those matchups, we have three Dismember in the side. Two Kataki War's Wage, which
obviously is for Affinity.
Hedge for Affinity. Yep. It kind of just ruins Affinity, so they are good to have in the side. Two Rest in Peace. Rest in Peace is very strong right now. Shuts down your opponent's treasure cruises.
No more cruising.
Yeah, if you want to pay
the ship has officially sunken.
Your ship has sailed, good sir.
Yeah.
One Miser's Baneslayer Angel. Baneslayer Angel is my favorite card, and I want to play this card in every white deck that I play. So I usually keep one in sideboard. It's actually pretty good against burn. Against if you can survive.
Yeah, if you assuming you get to turn five, right?
If you get to turn five and resolve Baneslayer Angel, burn can't win.
Nope. Unless they get their treasure cruise going. But yeah,
Burn is smashing blue for treasure cruise, isn't it?
Gaining five life every turn is definitely really good, though.
Yeah, Baneslayer Angel is just sort of another hedge against mid-range decks. It goes over the top a lot of mid-range decks, so I really like it. It's more a card for me. It's like my signature on the deck. If it's a white deck, I play Baneslayer Angel on the sideboard, or at least I tried.
It could easily be Batter Skull or something like that.
Yeah, it could totally be a Batter Skull. It could totally be another sword. Sword of Fire and Ice, I put this one in here. Just one of, if you need a sword of a different color to get through your opponent's deck. We are seeing a lot of blue-red decks around, so Sword of Fire and Ice is pretty relevant. Two more Aven Mind Sensor to round out them in our main board. Two core Firewalker against Burn. We keep talking about Burn. Burn has definitely made a resurgence. So two core Firewalker is a pretty good solution to that matchup. One Grand Abolisher, Hose's combo, City of Solitude on a white dude. It's really solid. It's a one of. I don't expect to see it. I guess. I guess this is sort of just more a. Just a Miser's inclusion, just as a hope we draw it against combo decks. Imposing Sovereign, or Grand Abolisher also for like tempo decks that want to play Remands and Counter Magic. Anyway, the other one, Imposing Sovereign, excuse me, which is a two drop from, was it M14?
Yeah.
Two drop from M14, one white, one colorless. Creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped, which is great. Help for like against zoo, against creature heavy matchups that we get to push our dudes through.
Really great against Tormagoyf decks.
Yeah, really good against Goyf decks.
Because when you're on the beatdown plan, you know it's really great to have them. You know they had this. Oh, I got my Tarmogoyf, so I'll just, you know, block your dude or whatever. Or I got my Wall of Omens or something. And then you play this guy, and they're like, oh, crap.
Well, I haven't got a chance to play this deck in paper yet. But if it performs the way that the white-black version did, which I think it will perform very similarly, Hay Bears has a great moment around early mid-game where your just opponent... Like,
gotcha.
If you've got to play, like... Without, you know, having your hand torn apart, or you've pretty much gone unobstructed up to this point, you've got like a Leonin Arbiter in play, and you've got an Aven Mind Sensor in play, and you've got like maybe a Meddling Mage in play, and they just are like looking at their hand, and they're like, "There's nothing to do. Like, I can't deal with these dorky white cards. What is going on? And you get this sort of, like, Sam was looking for this annoying deck. Like, I'm not sure, like, this deck, the goal isn't to be annoying. We're trying to win a game of Magic, but there is a great moment where your opponent is kind of just at a loss, at least in my experience playing.
Unless they rip Damnation off the top or something.
Yeah. And, like, you're ghost quartering their land, and they're just looking down, like, 6 damage from your Geist of St. Trap. There's some pretty good feel good moments for you playing this deck. Hate Bears is pretty fun. It might not be tier one, but we're seeing actually a resurgence of decks of this type, surprisingly enough, which we'll talk about more later on. But that is my recommendation for Meddling Mage. Here's a chance to play 4 main board, get to name all those fun cards like Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time and Tarmogoyf and Dark Confidant and Abrupt Decay or whatever your heart desires. Here is the deck to do it in.
Well, that's kind of the that's kind of the catch about playing Meddling Mage is, you know, like with Cabal Therapy and Legacies, you kind of had to like know what you're supposed to name in the matchup.
I was going to give a suggestion for the deck, which is Gataxian Probe. Let you draw a card, yeah. Let you see your opponent's hand. So
that's a good one.
It's definitely an option. I've seen Meddling Mage Gataxian Probe as a good combo.
Yeah.
Remaz might be an option. I know you have some Blade Splicer, Flicker Whisk stuff going on. But I don't know if Remaz is just a better clock.
Yeah, I like Breezy O'Reezy a fair bit.
die to Lightning Bolt.
Does not die to Lightning Bolt. Blade Splicer and his token die to Lightning Bolt. So that's something to think about for the same price.
Yeah, this might be a deck that the Venser Planeswalker could be good in.
The Planeswalker Venser.
The Venser Planeswalker.
Yeah.
So true.
Blink your guys and make your guys unblockable for a turn.
But we're kind of short in lands, though.
Yeah, yeah.
23 lands.
So getting...
Just making some suggestions.
Also, yeah, no, I agree.
I've seen Retichroma in this kind of build as well.
Retichroma, really?
So, well, when you morph her, then you blink, and you right. Ether Vial in the... Ether Vial and a Rester Angel and some decks just can't be Riddick.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a combo that I've actually seen a lot going around lately for some reason. Is Restoration Angel and a Chroma. But...
What was I going to say? Oh, man. I had something relevant to say and I forgot it.
Well, no. one thing I was kind of, you know, when I was talking to Josh about this deck before we made a list, I had recommended Judge's Familiar, but...
That was it. Yeah, no, I don't want to play Judge's Familiar. Yeah. Sorry.
I feel like this deck needs a one drop real bad. It looks like the three drop.
I tried to play that card in standard, and it made me sad in standard.
Well, that's because no one plays spells in standard.
This is true. I don't know. I feel like it might not be the worst, but I'm not excited about Judge's Familiar.
I get you. I'm just thinking, like I said, maybe you'd want. You know, actually, another good one drop would be it's the Druid.
Yeah, Dryad Militant.
Or Dryad Militant, yeah, thank you.
That's what I was thinking of, too. That might be it. Because he's sort of a hate bear, but he's one mana instead, too.
Right, yeah, and he also coincidentally blanks Treasure Cruise. And...
Yeah, knows his Treasure Cruise, yeah. I think we're just trying desperately to find ways to host Treasure Cruise, because this card is the real deal.
Yeah, apparently. So, on that note, so again, thanks, Josh, for... putting that together.
You guys enjoyed the deck.
If I had 4 Geist of St. Traft, I would play it. But so yeah, moving on. So if you do get the chance to play this deck, you know, we'd love to hear about it.
Yes,
you should look into that. Know. So Matt, do you think do you have the cards for this? Do you think you could actually get Josh to play this?
I can have the cards for this.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on. So we wanted to talk about the Star City Games Top 16 for Modern from this past weekend. So that is, Star City Games in Minneapolis? Is that right?
I think so.
Sorry, I'm pulling it up. Yeah, Minneapolis. Star City Games Premier IQ. So we've seen the metagame change quite a bit in the past. Or since Cons has been out, so Kanta has been a pretty powerful and impactful set in terms of our internal formats, because obviously with the addition of, of course we had the allied fetch lands come in, so it's changed, the availability of that. Plus, we've got Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, which are making some pretty big waves in the in Modern and Legacy. Haven't seen the Vintage metagame lately, but who knows, maybe.
I can't imagine they would not play Treasure Cruise. It's just, like, recall.
Well, because not every Vintage deck can easily get to 7 cards in their graveyard before losing to, I don't know,
well, like,
a Lodestone Golem. Yeah,
they would go that length now, though.
Delve is kind of, the mechanic Delve has a very similar propensity that Threshold does, and that it kind of just rewards you for playing Magic.
Like, right.
You don't have to try, in a lot of decks, you don't have to try very hard to get 7 cards in your yard. You don't even have to, like, build your deck around it. It kind of just happens. So, in that way, they kind of just...
Well, you have to have an island in your deck.
Free upsides, somewhere. Right? Yeah, you do have to have an island. Oh darn.
Well, you fetch, you use one of your fetch lands, and you have one card in your graveyard already.
Right, exactly. You're
already up one.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so I'm going to read off the top 8 here, and we were going to talk about the top 16 as well, so we'll get to those deck lists.
I don't care about any of these decks in the top 8. I want to talk about number 11, but I'll let you go.
So, 8th place, Blue Red Delver, 7th, Boggles, 6th went to Infect, and then we have 4th and 5th were both Burn decks, and then 3rd and 2nd were both Blue Red Delver decks. And then, oddly enough, first place was Blue Moon. So my thought behind this is, like, how did Blue Moon take first place when there is, like, 5 decks in the top 8 that don't care about a Blood Moon?
Main deck Barriskull, 1 Barriskull on the sideboard, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
So I think, Matt had pointed out one of the most peculiar things about this deck, and I think this has been the most beneficial for this kind of deck, is that it's running a single Dig Through Time. So, Dig Through Time, I think, it's funny because Dig Through Time is a rare, but I think it's a lot more fair and balanced than Treasure Cruise, simply because it costs 2 blue.
Being instant speed is also really good.
Yeah, but it's like the Treasure Cruise, like I said, you only had to pay 1 blue. So the least you had to pay for Dig Through Time is still double blue, which is, kind of, not just, you can't just jam like 6 of these in every deck, But so that was kind of, interesting. But yeah, I think there's a lot of aggro apparently, thanks to Blue Red Delver and Burn being a thing. So I guess Batterskull takes the cake on that one.
Yeah. 3 Anger the Gods, the sideboard helps a lot too.
Yeah. And surprisingly, the Blue Moon player is not playing any copies or any of his own copies of Treasure Cruise. It's just a single Dig Through Time.
Definitely think he could. I mean,
yeah, you probably could. Maybe he thought it was too slow, but I'm glad to see that the first place list wasn't just jamming 4 copies of Treasure Cruise.
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to not see it get banned, but...
I like 2 Shackles in the main deck as well.
Yeah, how far Pod has fallen, by the way.
Well,
Blue-Black X as well.
I mean, right. Blue-Black X was never really a huge contender in recent Modern metagame, but, I mean, Pod, I think... It just, can't do a ton against Burn, I guess. And I guess, I don't know. It's hard to, say why things work out the way they do. But yeah, Birthing Pod didn't show up at all in the top 16.
I think people just want to play with the new cards. That's pretty much
it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm kind of thinking this is kind of like a flavor of the week sort of thing. But it could get to the point where it really sticks around for... for quite some time.
Also, something you point out too, there's no Jeskai Ascendancy combo.
Right. So yeah,
I don't think it got hated out. I just think no one played it.
That's the thing. I was telling people online. They were like, you know, getting ready to prepare their decks for, like, Jeskai Ascendancy for paper. And I'm telling them, you know, it's like, no one has Noble Hierarchs, like, in paper at the moment.
Like, yeah, no, you joke. Like, this card should not be $70.
Right.
Like, it is not even the best mana dork in Magic. Why is this card
$70? It's pretty sweet, but, it's pretty cool.
Of all the people to be forgetting Mr. Deathrite Shaman.
Oh, we're not, but he's banned.
Like, well,
but still.
But no, I mean, even in Legacy, Noble Hierarch is actually... And in some decks, you'd rather have Noble Hierarch over Deathrite Shaman. But there's a lot more...
this card is $70. What is wrong?
So yeah, that's the biggest reason why we haven't really seen a lot of Ascendancy combo paper. I mean, they're just... Noble Hierarchs are $70, and they're really, really hard to find and trade for. So
this game is too expensive. I don't know why I play this game.
I quit. My wallet is empty.
Out of money. I can't spend this money on Magic.
I think an interesting thing with the, I guess, less people playing Black-Green X, the Bogle deck has become a little bit better because of less Liliana the Veil.
This is true.
Fair. Yeah, that's probably... there. Now, with all due respect, there was quite a few in, like, the top 16 of the Black-Green mid-range decks. But, yeah, I think it you know, has definitely been cut back.
There was only that Abzan deck in the top 20.
Hold on, let me look again.
Ethereal Armor, man.
Yeah, you're right.
It was the only card with Liliana the Veil in the top 20.
Yeah. There, you can't see it, but there are tears in my eyes right now.
Yeah.
So the big thing to me is that there's three blue-red Delver decks. So I'm thinking
he's back.
One of the decks that I'm going to have to start playing again is Delver and Modern. I mean, knock on wood, you know, we talked about Delver and Modern a couple weeks ago. Suddenly everyone's kind of blown up about Monastery Swift Spear being like the bee's knees, because
they're saying he's better in Goblin Guide, which
see that
actually probably is.
That makes me mad. They might be really? Right, but that makes me mad.
I feel like he's the first red one drop that really doesn't have a true downside. Like the first aggressively like power and toughness.
Yeah, he's not like Jackal Pup, you know,
Like Goblin Guide has a downside,
well,
like a very distinct downside, and so does Jackal Pup. And this is, like, the first hasty red one drop that really doesn't have a downside.
Well, when you look at the blue-red Delver list, it plays 14 lands main deck. And so we're back to the age of...
Oh, which one are we talking about?
Which one? We have one that plays 18.
The third place.
The third place? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The second place
was 18, but...
Yeah.
Four probes, which means they can play a lot less lands. The four, I mean, it only has four different kinds of creatures. It has Delver, it has Swift Spear, has Snapcaster Mage, and it has Stone Pyromancer. Those are just really hard to deal with creatures, especially if you can play one and then play a couple spells after that. All your spells cost one to two mana. You're playing Vapor Snacks, you're getting their opponent's blocker, and your guys are just getting in there for more damage.
Because you play less lands, you have a higher opportunity to you have a higher spell concentration at a larger period of time. Yeah, you know, as the game goes on, and you fill up your graveyard quicker for the infamous Treacher Cruise.
Yeah.
So
you're only playing six real lands. All the rest are fetches as well.
So, just FYI, so like in Legacy, that becomes like a real like weakness to the deck. So like if you like, let's say you Tech Edge or Ghost Quarter of Steam Vents and you surgically extract it, you're like, great,
yeah,
buddy.
If you surgically extract the Steam Vents, you might beat this deck like just automatically.
Yeah.
Because they only have one island, one mountain, so
they really can't win a game with just those two lands.
If you get their first Steam Vents and surgical it, you win.
Yeah.
Like, you just win.
Well, you had to do a little bit more than that. It isn't just a flat-out win, but...
One land.
Yeah, like, It's going to be really hard for them.
I mean, this is essentially a burn deck that has a few blue spells in it.
Yeah.
And he plays 4 lava spikes. Just
yeah.
You know, straight up lava spike. Yeah.
Like, why not?
There's just a lot of really efficient cantripping going on.
Yeah, I would not want to play against that deck.
You're finding, you're either countering their spells, or you're cantripping.
Well, actually, funny enough, that this one particular list doesn't have a single counter spell in it, except in the sideboard.
No, it's all in aggro plan.
Yeah.
I'm on the second place one.
Oh, sorry.
The deck that did well is playing counter magic.
The deck that did well.
Well, third place is pretty good.
Second place is better.
Depends on matchups.
But yeah, we get the point. So, yeah.
Just looking at the top 20, like, there's only a few. There's one combo deck, 2 combo decks, and like 2 mid range decks. All the rest are just aggro, like just aggro out.
Yeah, they're either burn, blue eyed delver, boggles, and there's a zoo deck in there.
It's infect.
Infinity and merfolk, I guess.
And the rest of the top, and this little deck at 11th here by Mr. Jason Kruger. Jason Kruger, if you're a listener, thank you, Jason, for playing this glorious deck that is green white summoning trap. Oh my goodness!
I mean, it needs a better name, but
it does. But like, this is a mid range green white deck that plays 4 summoning trap. And then 5, 12, and 15 drops. This is so amazing. Oh, I want to play this thing. I'm just thinking about playing, like, mulliganing this deck is horrible. Like, you got to draw, your opening 7 is going to be like Restoration Angel, Blade Splicer, Land, Spell Skype, Blightsteel Colossus, Imrakul, or something dumb.
Like, if they counter your Blaze Fire.
So like, what?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Summoning Trap. Here we go. You whiff and you get like a Birds of Paradise or something.
You have to find Summoning Trap. And like, the hands are just, the potential just for just unplayable hands is so high. I don't understand, but I mean, he got 11th at this Premier IQ, so like, there has to be something going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it is, I love it. Thank you.
So, yeah, on that note, I'm thinking I may try to look to build a deck like this and play it at an event just for kicks and giggles.
I played through the Breach for a few weeks, and it was a lot of fun. Which,
yeah. I don't... So, what would... I only have one Emrakul, which, I mean, I might have some of the other Eldrazi Titans, but, like, what else should I jam? Like,
Iona would obviously be a good... choice.
Yeah, you could do some of the lesser Eldrazi. They're all pretty good. Like,
they're all pretty unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, Kozilek and
even Ulamog if that betrays is not terrible.
Ulamog's Crusher is not even bad.
Yeah.
So same with Artisan of the Kozilek.
Yeah. This deck could also play See the Unwritten, the new Summoning Trap.
So and that's, I think we had mentioned that in our set review. But I'm just not sure if we want, you know, we really want Summoning Trap 5-8, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is See the Unwritten better than Summoning Trap, though?
Not only really, yeah.
Only
I don't
if
think.
You're already winning.
Right.
Yeah,
only fair. If you already have a Blightsteel Colossus on the field.
But, like...
You get 2 more guys!
Eureka!
So, I mean, you're just counting on them, like... So you, like, go to Hardcast Wurmcoil, and you're just counting on them trying to counter it?
Yeah.
Well...
I mean, like...
If I mean, given the meta idea, like, being full of blue-red Delver and they, like, go to remand it or something, you're like,
Yeah, they'll remand it on the Rare Quarry as quick as you can cast it. And then you Summon Trap.
Yeah, so... Okay, so
and like just, I said, like, hope you don't whiff.
Disguised as a mid-range green-white deck.
Yeah, I mean, it has Spellskite, Blaze Splicer, Knight, Kushali Pride Mage, Rester Angel. All those can just hold off, you know, as a mid-game kind of... mid-range kind of deck. And sometimes you just get them with Pat. With,
right, they're just like, I got the Summoning Trap here.
You do it to
Blightsteel Colossus.
And it's an instant, so you do it at the end of their turn.
Yeah.
Get your Blightsteel Colossus and kill them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Josh does raise a valid point, though. It's like, what do you do when your hand is just like, I got two Emrakuls and a Blightsteel Colossus.
And like, wins.
Well, yeah. It also has Windswept Heath. Or not, Wimbers Tights, so you can...
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you can...
Post-board, you have...
But if they're already in your hand, they're still just bad. But that is good with Knight of the Reliquary, too.
There's a few man lands. You can hold them off for a little bit. I don't see this deck beating like a combo deck of any kind.
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah.
Game two.
Well, maybe with the sideboard, I guess. But
game two, it has Angel's Grace, I guess.
Yeah.
That's so like what? Like, you know, it's funny. People have been to move on from green white summoning trap. You know, burn has been going around a lot, and people have actually been recommending Phyrexian Unlife as a sideboard card against burn. So, you know, normally, right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's like, so, you know, at first
and more efficient gain 10 life spells.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when someone at first made the recommendation to me, I was like, that's pretty janky. I disagree with you. And then you think about it and it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's sorcery speed and it's an enchantment, I guess, but their burn can't interact with enchantments. So, it basically just reads like gain 10 life.
Well, I guess burn. I think just circle protection red is better, honestly.
No,
I know you have to leave mana back, but if all they have is a like a Swiss sphere.
But then you have the problem with that is like against blue red Delver, the young pyromancer, the elemental tokens. Yeah. You had to pay one for each one of those tokens, so. I don't know. I think with that, if they, because nowadays they've gone really aggro, so they're playing lots of creatures now. So it's, I think circle protection is just too much mana, I think.
Just play like Ordeal of Heliod. Put it on a dude, sacrifice, gain 10 life.
Nah.
Not
bro. You need to have your creature to block Goblin Guides and Monastery Swiss Spears.
You could play Heroes Remembered. Ooh.
What is that card?
This card is sweet. I don't know. Do you remember what Heroes Remembered does?
White green gain 7 life or something.
No. I will actually give you all the money in my wallet, which isn't very much, but I'll give you all the money in my wallet if you can without looking it up. I'm trusting you guys. I know you're at your computers without looking it up. If you can tell me what Heroes Remembered does.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. This card is wonderful. Is
it green?
No.
It's white 10.
Is white 6 sorcery rare from Planar Chaos gain 20 life.
You're honestly better off playing Resolute Archangel just to reset your
exile. Yeah, you get a body out of Resolute Archangel.
Oh, that card's wonderful. Suspend 10 for 1 life.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great. Actually, that's the first time I've seen that card.
Well, if like you could violent outburst into it, I guess. Or no, you can't because it still has
it costs 9.
Right, yeah.
You can't sustain it.
I just assumed that because it had suspend that you could do that.
No. This card is great.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
So, another notable thing in the top 16, Jeskai Control, no longer American Control. Cry some more.
Blah.
Yeah. Playing 4 copies of Spellstutter Sprite. Which is pretty good against, you know, the blue-red Delver decks, because they're playing so many 1-drops. So it's like you can always kind of get them on the 1-drop. But the guy was also playing Mutavaults. Definitely more of a, I don't know, I think it's more of like a mid-range sort of deck than it is a control deck as it's labeled. But yeah, 2 Dig Through Time.
Sorry, if it was control, I'd have 4 colonnades in, I think.
Right. Instead, like I said, he's playing the Mutavaults. He was playing 2 Celestial Colonnade, but yeah, he wanted. I guess he wanted to have stuff to do with the Spellsetter Sprite. So that's obviously, I guess, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. He was also playing Flash Freeze, which I think, you know, with the emergence of Burn, that's a card that I think that could be really solid.
Yeah. Is that the kind of the 2-drop counterspell?
Yeah.
Counter target green or red.
Yep.
Well, Okay. Yeah. No, I agree.
I can also see Stubborn Denial, maybe, as sort of like, I don't know, Stubborn Denial is just worse than Spell Pierce. I'm not sure.
Well,
I guess it would be, because you're not going to be
the, you know, it's I've loved it in draft. Like, it's just a, it's been a house in draft, because, you can play like the Alpine Grizzly and you have a one mana counterspell.
Like, yeah, I guess in this deck,
it's counter target
spell period, though.
Yeah, so that's the problem. It's like, you just don't have, and unfortunately, in most of Constructed, you just don't have a way of getting the Ferocious. So if you did, like I said, it would be phenomenal. But
yeah.
So that's why it probably just doesn't make the cut. But yeah, this is more of like a blue at red, like tempo.
Just have a Nyx Face Ram in the sideboard, which is probably good against burn.
You know, if I go back to playing Junk again, or another deck with white, I'll probably start playing Nyx Fleece Ram. It's hard to find like a good. So the bad thing about burn being so popular is like all the good cards against burn are bad against everything else. Like, because you're just playing like bad life gain spells.
Core Firewalker is pretty miserable against everything that's not.
It's red, it's very narrow. It's double
Dragon's
white.
Claw is only good against burn.
Yeah, and speaking of which, Dragon's Claw is now like, I think, the top. One of the top 12 cards played in Modern at the moment.
What?
An MTGO. Yeah, it's
not even the best anti-red card.
It's pretty good.
Well, because
if you're burn and your opponents are burn, you're gaining a bunch of life.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's one of the reasons why. That's true. It's like, and if you're not playing white, your options are pretty limited, you know. So, I think so. The to kind of sum up, like the top 16, you know, burn and blue red delver, or just blue red delver, have really made a huge impact on the metagame. Very quick too, you know, it's very rare you see, you know, changes like this, you know, happen like over the course of just like a week or two, but it's very quickly impacted our modern metagame, and it's, I'm not sure if I like it. You know, I know some of the other people I had talked to about this particular top 16 said, you know, they thought it was pretty ugly. what this could mean for the future of modern, at least in the short term. Of course, you know, Wizards, I have faith in them, and I think they'll do the best job of, like, you know, keeping the metagame open and not, you know, really dull and boring, and not everyone's playing, you know, one deck. But
at this, I'm pretty sure they don't care about modern.
Well, I to some extent I agree with you, but you know, they have said so. They obviously they pay less attention to modern, but they do actually spend some time, you know, looking into modern, because that is kind of like their poster child eternal format. Because they don't really, it's legacy and vintage that they're obviously like, we don't need to test cards for that at all, because they're already kind of bonkers.
He's gonna support it as long as he's at Wizards. So,
also, where were the Leyline Sanctities this weekend?
I was just thinking about.
Well,
that's
another thing that I you know, it's like, it's one of those cards. It's like, it's good against burn, and I guess maybe like it's good in a Storm sideboard, but outside that, just bad. I mean,
yeah.
Were any of the Boggles decks playing it, or?
I feel like there's enough, you know, Lightning Bolt Thoughtseize decks out there that Leyline's not bad.
Well, apparently not so much Thoughtseize, but definitely Lightning Bolt.
yeah well, what happened to hand structure?
If you're playing Thoughtseize, you're at the wrong,
I mean...
Inquisition of Kozilek.
You crack a fetch, you get a duel,
get a shock,
and you're already at 15, and you're playing...
And you look at their hand, and it's like Lava Spike, Lightning Bolt, Boris Charm.
I guess they're just dead.
I mean, I guess that really puts a hamper in sort of the green-white mid-range decks, but we saw, or the green-white-black mid-range decks.
Or just green-black, but yeah.
Right. We saw decks like Zoo and like some of the more low-curve aggro decks show up that traditionally were sort of dogs to these hand disruption decks, which is nice. So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Can we talk about our set review a little bit?
The what?
Our set review, can we talk about it a little bit?
I mean, what do you mean?
Just some of the cards that we mentioned that were going to be hits in Modern. Obviously, Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, Swiss Sphere. A couple of the side ones. Become Immense is a sideboard card in some Infect decks for a quick kill.
Has it been? I didn't take a look at the Infect deck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's got two copies of Become Immense.
As far as the fetch lands, like I said, they didn't make any deck that wasn't already viable more viable, I don't think.
At least not yet. But, I mean, if it hasn't already made a big change, I mean, yeah, you're probably right, but...
Yeah. So, I know, it remains to be seen. If Control can figure out how to get around these burn decks, then maybe...
They just need to start playing Treasure Cruise like everyone else.
Are playing Wrath of God effects. I mean,
yeah. Well, it's tough to say, but yeah, I think a lot of people called it on things like Treasure Cruise, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Monastery Swiss Spear is kind of surprised me. I mean, I think it was notable. But the thing, funny thing is, in the set review, we pointed it out as like a card that, or at least I think I said this. I don't know if I actually did or not, but it's better in like that, the Kiln Fiend combo deck, because that's what the Kiln Fiend deck essentially wants to do, is like you kind of storm with a Kiln Fiend out and then swing for like 20 or whatever.
But I think Swister is proving that you don't need to do that.
Right.
Like you just need to get one or two extra damage in per swing.
Right.
That does the job.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty good, I guess. So, that is our Star City Games Top 16 discussion. If you haven't already taken a look at it, as a Modern player, you would be doing yourself a disservice to not. So, definitely take a look at it. Again, things to watch out for the next couple weeks, I'm afraid, will probably be flooded with Burn and Blue-Red Delver. Especially for those of you on MTGO, because, the MTGO meta is pretty ruthless in terms of the cheap decks that are also the best decks. And right now, Burn and Blue-Red Delver, both fairly affordable, are seeing tons and tons of play. So,
yep.
So yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But hey, we'll see how it continues to pan out as we roll through the next couple weeks or so. So anyway, that has been tonight's show. This has been episode 16 of Modern Marvels. Again, thanks to those of you who gave us suggestions for a deck or a card to build a deck around. If you still have more, we'd be happy to discuss them. But
yeah, man, I like brewing this week. I'd be happy to do some more decks. I know these guys are enjoying their Bitter Ordeals and their Plunge into Darknesses. Send us some more stuff. We'd be happy to keep making decks for you guys. Part of the fun of Magic, right?
So, if you have any suggestions or comments on the show, of course, as always, feel free to send those to the show email or in a comment on the link to the show on mtgcast.com. Our show email is modernmarvelspodcast@gmail.com. We also have a blog. I don't know how many people actually go over there to look at it. Well, actually, I have a number, but it's not like a lot. That is modernmarvelspodcast.blogspot.com. So just in case you're wondering, we do share news and updates and stuff like that on the blog. It's kind of filled in as a way of having a website for now. So if you haven't already, I recommend, at least checking it out to see what we got on there. We also post the show notes on there and stuff like that. So, of course, please always feel free to tweet Josh as well at Peter's Ponders. Yep. Is Josh's Twitter handle, so please, he's getting kind of lonely over there. Well, he gets plenty of tweets from other people, but we would like to see more people from more of our listeners.
Not exactly Twitter famous or anything, but I get my fair share.
Like I say,
always be pondering, right?
Yeah,
I just got followed by our friends over at Joy of Cubing.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
Shout outs to them. Go check out their podcast if you like the cube.
Yeah.
One of their episodes.
Who doesn't like the cube? Cube is awesome.
Everyone likes the cube.
Well, not everyone, surprisingly. I know. Those people are probably They're probably bad people. But...
Well, I don't hang out with those people.
No, we don't associate with them.
With the non-cubers.
Anyway, again, you spent another perfectly good hour listening to Modern Marvels. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you'll join us on the next episode. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.